Thomas, where were you born?
Well, we were born in a cemetery.
I beg your pardon.
All right. In a cemetery.
You don't mean born in a cemetery.
Yes.
That's where you go when you're all through.
Well, I started out there.
You started out
there?
You were living in the cemetery?
My parents were at the time, yes.
Living?
They were living.
Right.
All right.
Right.
In the cemetery?
That's right.
You want to explain that?
Well, my father was the engineer, and he was in charge of developing the cemetery, and I came along part way before they were finished, so I was born there.
That's a horrible business to be in, developing a cemetery, you know?
It's true.
Going around hitting people on the head to get business.
Dying to come there, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, good to see you anyway. I hope you don't make it again for a long time.
We're trying not to.
All right. Oh, Jackie.
Hello.
You were here before, weren't you?
Yeah, a year ago in April.
A year ago in April?
Mm-hmm.
You know I don't recognize you. Is there any reason why I shouldn't recognize you?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I weighed 210 then.
And how much do you weigh now?
158.
My goodness, Jackie, there isn't much of you left.
Oh, there's still a lot.
You lost, let's say, from 210 to 158. How many pounds is that? 158 is 42, 52 pounds.
Quite a few.
What?
Quite a few.
Yeah. 52 pounds. Mm-hmm. Friends, this gives you an idea. Any women who are overweight, come to the Breakfast Club. Come back, how long was it?
Oh, it was over a year. It was in April.
Come back about a year later, you will have shed some 52 pounds. No trouble at all, huh?
Oh,
golly, I think I'll try that.
Goodbye, Sam. See you in a year. Thank you very much. Well, I'll say one thing. Freddie Weber couldn't afford to lose 52 pounds, or there wouldn't be any Freddie Weber.
Thank you.
Cute little gal from Beardstown. Are you going to be backed up by Dick Noel here?
Oh, a
few other people here.
Yeah.
Oh,
the forefathers.
Oh, anybody who wants to get in the act.
Four? I'm not a father.
I'll see you're not.
One father and two grandfathers.
Yes, well, that makes four altogether.
Makes four.
Cruising down the river. Nice little cruise. Brian Klug, please. Brian is a newspaper guy. And since there are 700,000 young businessmen in the United States and Canada celebrating National Newspaper Day, Chicago Tribune is playing host to their outstanding newspaper boys, and you're among them, Brian. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
I understand your dad's electrician, your mother's policewoman and school crossing guard, and you're a junior at Lakeview High School. Have I got you right?
Yes, sir.
You play in the band?
Yes, sir. I play the bassoon.
Bassoon?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Don't you know that bassoon players are presumed to go crazy after a while?
Well, I
want you to see a living example. Would you stand up, sir? What?
Hobo.
Hobo. Oh. I see. Well, you can all stand up as far as that goes. They're all nuts. Yeah. Well, you don't intend to make that your career, do you? Bassoon?
No, sir, I don't.
What do you intend to make your career?
I intend to be a lawyer.
Good for you. What's the most important thing you've learned being a newspaper boy?
Well, it's responsibility, be on time in the morning, get the paper to the door in good condition, and where do people want it?
Attaboy. That's a very excellent idea. I must want mine under the bush, because that's where it always is. To have a talk with that fellow. A lot of fellas have been newspaper boys. Bob Hope, President Eisenhower, Jimmy Durante, Jack Dempsey. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What are you going to be doing 10 years from now, do you think?
I'll own my own law firm.
What?
Own my own law firm.
You'll own your own law firm?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's fine. You have no doubt about it?
No, sir.
Oh, good, good.
Great.
Boy, I wish that your age, you're 16, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
I would have had such confidence. I didn't know what I was going to do, not only 10 years from then, I didn't know what I was going to do the next day.
How about now?
Huh? I don't know now, no. What do you do when you're not delivering papers?
Well, if I work on cars, put radios together, and do some skin diving in there.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got a lot of wonderful ideas there.
It kind of weights you down, doesn't it?
Huh?
Skin diving while you're working on a car?
Not at the same time. I understand the guy got an ROTC award, too, from American Legion Citizenship Award. 5-year perfect attendance been from your church. Say, you've been doing all right. Maybe you will own your own law firm. I certainly hope so, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Boys, all right. All right, where's Dick Noel? Where's Thou Swell? Get up there and do it, boy.
Thou swell, thou witty, thou sweet, thou grand, wouldst kiss me pretty, wouldst hold my hand, both thine eyes are cute to what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet lollapalooza in thee. I'd feel so rich in a hut or two, two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do. Give me just a plot of not a lot of land, and thou swell, thou witty, thou grand. Thou swell, thou witty, thou sweet, thou grand, wouldst kiss me pretty, wouldst hold my hand, both thine eyes are cute to what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet lollapalooza in thee. I'd feel so rich in a hut for two, two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do. Give me just a plot of not a lot of land, and thou swell, thou witty, thou swell, thou pretty, thou swell, thou witty, thou grand.
I do want it clearly understood that that was very nice, Dick.
Thank you.
That as far as newspaper boys are concerned, I have every respect in the world for them. Goodness knows I get up early enough, but many times I look out the window there and here's this guy, especially in the wintertime, trudging through the snow and ice. It just isn't easy. They do a great job. Were you ever a newspaper boy?
No. Weren't never you? Was.
Well, you did?
Nobody
yes. Mm-hmm. I put the Brooklyn Eagle out of business.
Is that so? Were you, Freddie?
I tried to get a job. That's the truth. I really did.
As a paper boy?
Well, with that haircut, she could almost make it, you know. Yeah.
No, I really did try to get a job.
Did you?
They wouldn't hire me.
They wouldn't hire you?
No. My hair was too long then.
Well, they want people to... They want people to think about the papers.
You know what, Mr. McNielsen?
What?
I, too, was a newspaper boy.
In Duluth?
In Duluth.
Good.
But I had it a little bit easier.
Fine.
I used to stand on the street corner and one spot with a little hot stove there, the oil stove, and I used to yell, "Hold on, extra, why am I read all about it, why am I extra, why am I the new Carol, the new Tribune, why am I?"
That's what I say. All oboe players are crazy. All right. Did you ever have an embarrassing experience, Freddie?
Oh, I've had quite a few. Let me see if I can think of one. Oh, dear, the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me was at Stevens College once. And I was kind of aspiring to be a singer then, too.
Yeah.
And we had Frankie Carl for our commencement dance. And, of course, naturally, I wanted to meet him, you know. But I had been, it was very foggy in the brain because I had been up so many nights studying, you know. And I sometimes would have illusions of people being there when they weren't there, and I'd hear voices, and, you know. So I get these little spells. And so I asked the president of the college to introduce me, you know, please introduce me to Frankie Carl, because maybe, you know, maybe he'd let me sing with him. So he did. Mr. President Spriggins was the president at the time, and he took me up to Frankie Carl, and he said, Mr. Carl, I'd like you to know Freddie Weber, who's president of the class, and I was president of the class at that time. And I thought, well, I'll say something smart, like, I've heard a lot about you, you know, something like that. And all of a sudden, my mind snapped, and I said, I a lot about you, about. And I couldn't stop saying about. Dear Lord, help me stop saying about, you know.
Yeah.
But the funny part about it was nobody even laughed. They just sort of, they didn't say a word. They just walked away, you know. I felt like an idiot. Really.
Well, I'm sure you've all heard about Freddie Weber, so she's going to sing for you. I understand there are only two kinds of secrets as far as women are concerned. Number one, those that aren't worth keeping. And number two, those that are too good to keep. Well, now we come to our hymn time with Dick Noel.
For by his hand he leads me.
each in his own words, each in his own way. For a world united in peace, let us bow our heads and pray. Time this morning. It's especially for parents, based on an article in 17 magazine for October. Oh, why should an article in a teenager's magazine interest parents? Well, because this one deals with student cheating. It's not a very pleasant subject, but it does exist, at least in some places. You're probably saying, oh, my boy or my girl wouldn't cheat in exams. Well, I hope that he or she wouldn't. But do you know? Are you sure? This magazine article, there are candid interviews with teenagers who have cheated, and some of the reasons. One says, I cheated because I was afraid to bring home low grades. Another one said, I cheated because, why not, everybody does it. Another one said, I cheated because I wanted good grades so I can get into a better college. Another one said, I cheated because the teacher doesn't care, just so you pass. All these excuses, many more, were heard many times. I wonder if your teenage boy or girl realizes that they may cheat now and then through high school, but it's going to be much tougher when in college they're on their own. But the main thing is, it's so much worse in later life when you find out the hard way that when you cheat others, you're really just cheating yourself. You know, to thine own self be true, and then thou canst not be false to any man. Perhaps I haven't quoted it just right, but it's the idea. That's why I say at the end of the program, be good to your neighbor. Sometimes I say be good to yourself. It's the same thing, either way. Do you notice when you were in college, you've been there much more recently than the rest of us, Freddie, much cheating going on?
Actually, not too much that I knew about. Anyway, we were on an honor system there at Stevens.
I see.
And it seemed, from statistics, seemed to work better than the other type system.
Well, the high school, Nutria High School, where my boys went to school, had the honor system, too. And I don't know either. I have no way of knowing whether it was working, but it seemed to, certainly seemed.
Yes, it seemed to at Stevens, too. Well, everything was on the honor system.
Put you on your own, in other words.
Yes, yeah. And it certainly made you have more pride in yourself, and
that's right.
I think it makes for more maturity.
How'd you get through school?
We had the honor system.
Did you?
Yeah, they'd unlock the bars and let us out for a while. And
any of you high school students over here got any ideas on this you think we should hear? About this, some of you fellows are in high school now. What do you think of the situation? The fellow that's going to have his own law firm there in 10 years. What do you think about it?
Well, it's not actually a cage. It's close to it, though.
You mean what I quoted is not the case?
No, it's almost a cage-like.
Cage. C-A-G-E?
Oh, cage. What's a cage?
Well, can't do hardly anything you don't want to do.
I don't get this.
You can't do anything that you don't want to do.
In school, you mean?
Uh-huh.
You can't do anything that you don't want to do. What do you mean, if you don't want to cheat, you can't do it?
But if you do it, you gotta do it.
He's gonna be a lawyer, all right.
He's gonna be a lawyer.
This guy talks like a lawyer. I don't understand a word of it. Right now, I think you'll get a kick out of what Freddie does. It's called They Always Pick on Me.
Born, my ma and pa, they looked at me and said, oh, sure. The doctor said, it's a girl, I think. And pa went out and got a drink. Kool-Aid, that is. Then ma said, I look just like pa. And pa said, I took after ma. And Jane said, I look like a quince. And I've been a stepchild ever since. Pick on me. They never, never let me be.
so very lonely. Awfully sad. It's a long, long time since I've been glad. But I know what I'll do by and by. I'll eat some worms and then I'll die. And when I'm gone, you wait and see. They'll all be sorry that they picked on me. One morning just at 4 o'clock, somebody tried to pick our lock. I knew it was Paul, sure it's in. So I opened the door and let him in. Then Ma said, what time is it, Pa? It's 12 o'clock, my Pa told Ma. Just then the cuckoo cuckooed four. And Pa made me cuckoo 8 times more. They always, always pick on me. They never, never let me be. I'm so very lonely, awfully sad. It's a long, long time since I've been glad. But I'll know what I'll do by and by. I'll eat some worms.
Real cute. Very cute. Now, what is the information we're seeking? I thought this would be a clever idea myself, because I've often wondered what it is that wives do to make us husbands do exactly what they want us to do, and we don't know it. So we asked some of these ladies if they would please jot down some of the little tricks, the little gimmicks they use to get their husbands to do the things that they want to get done. And they've been very, very nice indeed about writing them down. However, Mrs. Linden, in your case, you've been married...
10 years.
10 years now. And you haven't learned any tricks.
No, he's smarter than I am.
Well, you go back and sit and listen. And when you've heard these things, you will have so many ways to get into... Oh, I'll tell you, wait till you hear what these ladies have in their back of their minds. You're Grace Rich.
Mm-hmm.
From?
Oakland, California.
All right, Grace. You do what when you want your husband to do what you want him to do?
Well, I use a little mental telepathy. I plant a thought, make a suggestion, then I drop it. And then a few days, I come back again and give it another little twist to it and drop it. Pretty soon, you know, he thinks it's his idea and it's all done. I'm happy. He's happy. He takes all the credit. We get along beautifully for 40 years.
40 years. I think this has been pulled on me time and again. I'm glad to know. Take notes of this
stuff.
That
sounds awfully familiar.
Doesn't it?
Oh,
yeah. Brother. Let's take notes. This is very good. And you're Nancy?
Mrs. Robert Lyon.
Mrs. Robert Lyon. Okay, Mrs. Lyon, you're from...
Endicott, New York.
Yeah. Now, how do you work it?
Well, when I need something done around the house, I get all the supplies lined up and everything all handy. Then I put it where he can't help but see it and fall over it. And I think he gets the hint.
I know that one, too. We have a winding stairs going up from the first to second floor. And... for years, I used to pass stuff placed on those stairs, and I wonder, why do you suppose she put it there? I finally got the idea after 26, 27, 28 years around in here. Thank you, Miss Lyon. They make you trip over it, and excuse me, and then you realize what it's there for. And you're Nancy...
Trays.
Trays, from...
Buffalo, New York.
All right, Nancy, what do you do?
Well, I usually ask him what I want him to do, and then if he said no comment or whatever it is, I say, okay, never mind, I'll do it myself, and the next thing I notice, he's doing it.
It's I'm just a little prairie flower approach, huh?
I guess.
I'll do it myself. By the way, is your husband with you?
Yes, he's...
I don't think you're telling us half, then, what you really do.
No, I dreamed that one up.
All right, all right. I don't blame you. You're Mrs.?
Don Ryan.
It is Ryan, huh?
Ryan.
Ryan from Altoona, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
All right, now, how do you work it?
Well, you know, my husband's a businessman.
I see.
And when he comes home, I always say, well, dear, did you have a busy day? And, of course, he proceeds to tell me how busy he's been. And he just doesn't have enough time to do the things that he should do.
Of course.
So why should I ask him to do the things for me that he doesn't have time to do his own things?
I see.
So I think a little bit, and then I start saying, well, now, I would like to have this done, but I know you're busy, and when you have time, will you do it? And it always works. If I let him realize he's busy, too busy to do something for me.
Then he does it.
Then he does it.
I see. Oh, are these women smart? Wow.
So long, your breakfast clubbers, yes, and I'm eating. Once again on Monday, you'll hear I'm greeting.
Well, as I say to myself so often, before this thing starts, it's over. A lot of times, it seems that way to me. It may have been a long hour for you, friends, but it went fast for me. And we hope once again that you have a very, very pleasant weekend. As I said before, you can either be good to yourself or be good to your neighbor. Because when you do one, you do the other. Don McNeil and the gang saying goodbye.
Don McNeil's Breakfast Club has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.